All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I am so excited about today's message because today we're starting a brand new series called God is Good. God is Good. And this is really our theme for the year. We're going to be talking about the goodness of God. This is something that goes clear back to my sabbatical this summer. This passage of scripture we're about to read is a passage that the Lord laid upon my heart as a theme for our church for 2020. And so I'm really excited about kicking off this series. For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the goodness of God. So as we read Psalm 145, I want you to look for that. Look for two things as it pertains to the goodness of God. First of all, look for the times that David is talking about why he knows God is good. All right, these are some good things about God that he wants people to know. But secondly, I want you to look for things that are responses. This is how David says, this is the way to respond. This is the correct way to respond when you understand how good God is. All right, so look for those two things as we read this powerful psalm. I love this portion of scripture we're about to read. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. I will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and they speak of your might so that all the people may know your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. That's a lot of alls in there. Yeah. The Lord is near to all who call on him. Aren't you thankful for that today? The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. I'm going to back up because this fourth verse in particular, I believe that the Lord has laid upon my heart. It's going to be our theme verse for 2020. So you're going to hear us talk about this verse often. You're going to see it around our church throughout the year. And it's going to become a theme for us. It's going to become a guiding scripture for us throughout this year. Psalm 145 and verse 4. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. Okay? Let's read that out loud together, all right? One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts, Psalm 145, 4. So that's our big idea for the year, and in this series in particular, God is good. Now, for those of you who are parents, you have kids in youth ministry or children's ministry, we want you to know over these next 6 weeks, our youth and children are going to be the teaching they're going to receive is going to go right along with what we're doing on Sunday mornings. So that gives you an opportunity to engage in some good conversations with your kids about what they learned in church today. And you're gonna have an idea because you're going to hear the same thing up here. All right. So let's say this together. Say it together as a proclamation of affirmation and faith. Say it together. God is good. Let's say it together. God is good. God is good. Now, this is a truth that is, it's affirmed repeatedly throughout the scripture. In fact, we learn that really, when it comes to goodness, God is the measuring stick for what good is, right? The Bible teaches us that God is good, that His nature is good. His nature is good, so who God is good. In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 7, it says of Jesus, it calls Jesus the desired of the nations. The desired of the nations, that's Jesus. So everything good that this world is looking for, even though they don't necessarily understand it, everything that is good that we're looking for and that we truly need is found in Jesus. So His nature is good. God's deeds are good. What He does is good, right? Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, right? Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's God's desire, is to bless His people. His plans are good. And then God's word is good. God's word is good. Psalm 119 is all about the goodness of God's word, but particularly in verse 103, David wrote, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." All right? So God is good. His nature is good. His deeds are good. His word is good. Everything about God is good, and there's nothing about God that is not good, right? So this theme of God's goodness is woven throughout the scripture. Sometimes there's an individual speaking about how good God has been to them, and it's very personal at that point. Sometimes it's a poet like David writing about the good of God, the goodness of God lyrically. Sometimes it's a story that's told that demonstrates the goodness of God. So think about Jesus telling the story of the prodigal son, representing the heart of the Father to His people, right? Sometimes it's God Himself declaring through a prophet to the people that He is good, right? So it's God speaking up for Himself, telling a prophet, remind the people that I'm good, okay? So all throughout, this is a theme woven throughout the scriptures, the goodness of God. So why did God find it so necessary to repeatedly remind people that He was good? Because they kept forgetting, right? They kept forgetting. And I want to encourage you today. You know, we all talk about the goodness of God. We sing about the goodness of God. Probably most of us here would affirm our belief that God is good. But I can promise you this. God is better than you think. God is good, but He's even better than what you think. In fact, we can't even fully grasp how good God is. So this is going to be a journey for us. We're going to go deeper into the goodness of God. Because when we forget that God is good, we start going down the wrong trail because we start looking for goodness in other things. And we forget, no, the goodness that we're really looking for is actually found in Jesus to begin with. Now remember, this is exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. They forgot just how good God had been to them. Now think about it. Their life wasn't just good. It was unbelievably fantastic, right? They lived in paradise. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect environment. Some Bible scholars believe that there was a layer of water in the atmosphere that created a perfect greenhouse effect and negated the harmful rays of the sun. and that layer of water came down with the flood. That's why you see people's lifespans shorten so much after the flood. Okay, so but they were in a perfect climate-controlled environment. It was never too hot and never too cold, right? They had perfect weather every day. Perfect weather. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker, no bad days? That's how it was for Adam and Eve. There were literally no bad days. Not only was the weather perfect, all the animals were tame. Like Adam and Eve could go up to a lion and grab it by the mane. How you doing today, buddy? You know? It was absolutely perfect. Now they worked, the Bible says, they worked taking care of the garden, but their work was not laborious, was not was not burdensome to them. They had everything that they needed because God provided everything that they needed. Their bodies were perfect, absolutely perfect, like mine used to be when I was 25. If you believe that, we're going to have prayer for you. God provided the right kind of food that they should have been eating, right? They were never going to die. There was no sickness, no disease, no pain, no suffering. And also, get this, they had no emotional baggage to deal with, right? There was no anxiety, no fear, no depression, no shame, no feelings of rejection. Perfect. And to top it off, they had a perfect, flawless relationship with God. The Bible says that God walked with them in the cool of the day. There was nothing bad between them and God. It was perfect. And yet, with everything they had, they let the devil convince them that he had something better for them. Somewhere in there, they momentarily forgot just how good they had it. They forgot how good God was. Now listen, I share all of that not so you could be jealous of Adam and Eve. Man, I wish it was like that. Well, listen, there's a reason you wish it was like that. There's something in you that knows that life is supposed to be better than this. Because that thing is imparted to you from God. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans that all of creation is groaning in expectancy like a woman in childbirth, right? Like all of creation knows this isn't how it's supposed to be. But all of creation knows something good is coming. That God is going to take us back to that place and we will experience the full-on, unhindered goodness of God forever and ever. Amen? Yeah. And I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that. But I've got good news for you. We don't have to wait till then to experience the goodness of God. Because while everything in this world changes, our God has never changed. Right? His goodness continues forever and ever and ever. In other words, the fall had no effect on God. It affected everything but God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to remember the goodness of God. Because when we forget how good God is, it causes us to start looking for goodness in other places, right? We all see life through a particular set of lenses. Back when I was about 39 years old, I started to realize I didn't see as good as I used to. But there was a part of me that says, I don't want to get glasses. Anybody here? It's like, I don't want to get glasses. And so I went on for about a year knowing I needed glasses, but refusing to get them. right? So finally, I was like, oh, this is getting ridiculous. I better go see the eye doctor. So the first time in my, for the first time in my life, I went to an eye doctor, right? Got my vision checked out, and he said, yeah, you need glasses. So got me some glasses. I put the glasses on after they came in. I went, wow, look at what I've been missing, right? The fact is we all see life through lenses, right? And our past has a lot to do, our history, our story has a lot to do with the lenses that we're seeing life through, all right? So some of us are seeing life through rejection lenses. We've been hurt so deeply, we've been abandoned, we've been rejected, and it affects how we see everything and everybody. Some of us see life through disappointment lenses. We've been disappointed more than once in our life, and we start just like assuming things are going to go bad. All right, so we see life through lenses. So I'm going to encourage you, especially in these next 21 days, these next 6 weeks, rather, as we go through these series, let's start looking at life through the God is good lenses, right? Like, I realize things in this world aren't good, but God is good. And as we approach life through the God is good lenses, you're going to see things start to change in your hearts. They really are. Your approach to life, your circumstances might not change at all, but your ability to deal with those circumstances is going to change immensely as you start seeing life through the God is good lenses, all right? So we're actually going to devote this entire year as a church to recalibrate our lenses and to say, all right, let's start seeing life through the God is good lenses. And let's make Bethel Church a place that we are speaking about the goodness of God and singing about the goodness of God and living out the goodness of God, all right? So I'm going to give you five things this morning, right? Grab your notebook. I'm going to give you five things, five commitments that I'm making, and I encourage you to participate in this too, okay? That these all have to do with our response to the goodness of God. They're pretty simple, okay? This isn't complicated. But number one is this. I will respond to the goodness of God by doing this. I will meditate on God's goodness. I will meditate on God's goodness. So I'm gonna spend time thinking about the goodness of God. Psalm 34 and verse 8, this is an amazing scripture. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So in other words, it's not something that we just sing about at church or we just talk about. We can actually experience it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So we're going to meditate on the goodness of God. Now listen, there's a difference between Eastern meditation and Christian meditation. Eastern meditation is all about trying your best to empty your mind. All right? Christian meditation is us not emptying our mind, but filling our mind with the good things of God. It's a huge difference. So we're going to meditate on the goodness of God. And you can do this in prayer. You can do it by focusing on scriptures that speak of the goodness of God. But I want to encourage you because transformation takes place from the inside out, all right? The Bible says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we want to renew our minds with the goodness of God, all right? I will meditate on God's goodness. Secondly, I will declare God's goodness. I will declare God's goodness. I'm going to speak out the goodness of God. I'm going to do this in prayer. I'm going to do this as I'm talking about things. I'm going to share the goodness of God. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, powerful verse. The tongue has the power of life and death. Wow. So be mindful of just how powerful your words are. The difference, the things that you're speaking. And as you begin speaking out the goodness of God, great things are going to happen. Now, this year, In addition to our regular 21 days of fasting and prayer, we're adding a little wrinkle. In this year's 21 days of fasting and prayer, we're challenging everybody in our church to include doing a negativity fast. A negativity fast. And it's just deciding, all right, for 21 days with God's help, I'm not going to speak negative things. Okay? I'm not going to speak negatively about myself, about my circumstances, about other people. All right? I'm going to speak only the good things of God. Now, I want to just invite you to take that little slip of paper that was in your bulletin out, because I want to walk through just what I mean, and I don't have one. I borrow somebody's. Thank you, kind sir. All right. So a negativity fast, okay? A negativity fast is not living in denial. It is not stuffing our problems. It's not being irresponsible by neglecting the things that need to be resolved. In other words, you don't say, man, I'm not going to work because that's negative. Okay? It's not being critical of people who do speak negatively, all right? So we're not going to criticize other people in their negative speaking, all right? Here's what it is. A negativity fast is, it's focusing on Jesus rather than our problems. It's trusting that God can handle the things that we cannot. It's choosing thankfulness over complaining. It's refusing to give the devil a foothold in our thoughts and attitudes. It's acknowledging that there's power in our words. It's applying the authority of God's word through meditation, prayer, confession, and declaration. And it's exercising the power of faith. Okay? So let's do it. Amen? Amen. Let's do it. Give yourself a break. Give yourself a fast from negative speaking. Okay, so I will meditate on God's goodness. I will declare God's goodness. Thirdly, I will sing of God's goodness. I will sing of God's goodness. So we're going to go back to Psalm 145, verse 7, where it says, "They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." All right. So let's be great praisers. Now, some of you, man, you praise the Lord when you're driving down the street, man. You got your Hillsong in your CD, and you got your Bluetooth or whatever, and you're just going for it. And I want to encourage you, on Sunday mornings for sure. But be a praiser of God. Worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Singing, music is a beautiful gift from God that allows our spirits to express thankfulness to the Lord. And so sing. And by the way, when we do get together on Sunday mornings, don't make Pastor Roger work you into a place of worship. Come ready to worship the Lord. Amen? To sing His praises. Man, when you get into a good worship service, doesn't it just lift you up? Amen? And one of the things about singing to the Lord, it's interesting. We're singing to the Lord, but we're also singing to one another. It's interesting. We're singing to one another. It's praising the Lord, for sure. We're not praising one another. We're praising the Lord. But the things we're saying about God, we're actually singing them to one another as well. Okay? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 in the New Testament, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." So a part of our worship is actually for the encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? I will sing of God's goodness. Number four, I will share God's goodness. I will share God's goodness. So as we follow Jesus, our lives should become less and less like a reservoir and more like a river. That we become a conduit for all the good things that God has done for us. We become a conduit of God's goodness to others. So the goodness of God will be reflected in how we treat one another. And the goodness of God will be reflected in how we treat those who are outside the church right now. It's how the world knows that God is good, by observing the goodness of God's people, okay? So this includes things like kindness and generosity and servanthood and being gracious. All of these are ways that we express how good God has been to us, to the world around us, okay? So I'm going to live it out. I'm going to share God's goodness. Throughout this year, as a church, we've got some missions projects that we are taking on that are going to be expressions of God's goodness. In May, we do our annual Convoy of Hope, One Day to Feed the World. It's a great opportunity for us to feed hungry children all over the world. We're also taking on a project this year with Africa's Hope. You remember a couple of years ago, we helped Africa's Hope do a translation project. And we're doing that again in the Horn of Africa, a nation called Eritrea that has been so close to the gospel but is starting to open up to the gospel. We're going to do a project there. We're going to tell you more about that in the coming weeks. Boyd Powers is going to be here to share all about that project at the end of February. And so I want to encourage you throughout this year, the goodness of God is something we need to live out, right? We need to put it into practice. We need to be generous and kind and compassionate because God has done so much to us. Jesus told his disciples, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give, right? And so we're going to live out the goodness of God. We're going to share his goodness. So I'm going to meditate on God's goodness. I'm going to declare God's goodness. I'm going to sing about God's goodness. I'm going to share God's goodness. And then number five, the last one we're going to hit on this morning, I will commend God's goodness to the next generation. I will commend God's goodness to the next generation. Okay? Psalm 145, verse 4 again. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. So there's a passing of the baton with the faith, right? My favorite events in track and field, not to do, mind you, but to watch, are the relay races. Love them, those relay races. Whether it's the 4x100 or 4x400, they're so exciting. And by and large, track is an individual sport, but in these instances, it's a team sport, right? And it's the careful coordination and the timing of passing the baton to the next person. Because if the baton is dropped, the race is lost. And that is so true of the faith. Listen, when it comes to passing the baton to the next generation, if the baton is dropped, the race is lost. Right? So we're going to commend the mighty acts, the goodness of God, how good God has been to us. We're going to pass that to the next generation. And church, that is a sacred responsibility, to pass the baton to the next generation. Now, primarily, this takes place in the home. It's our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles. It's the primary place where this takes place. Passing the baton to the next generation. But the church should be a place where we support parents who are trying to pass the baton to the next generation. Amen? And as a church, we have kids, we have youth that don't have Christian parents. They weren't raised in church. I'm one of them. And I am thankful for a church that took me in and adopted me into their family and made me feel like I belonged. And so with our young people, let's pass the torch to the next generation. Amen? I want the 3 hours, if you count Sunday morning and Wednesday night, the 3 hours that our young people are with us at Bethel Church to be the best 3 hours of their week. Amen? I don't want our kids to see church as someplace they have to go to because parents are making them, but they want to be at. Amen? Like, I can't wait to get to church. That's how church was for me. The church for me was the best time of my week as a young person. It really was. So all week long, listen, all week long, many of our kids are not getting the message that God is good. They're getting the message that God is nothing but something that people made up, and it's in people's imagination, and if there is a God, he's certainly not good, because look how terrible things are in our world. All week long, our young people are being bombarded with this thought that if there is a God, he is certainly not a good God. So when our young people come to Bethel Church, I want them to be filled up and infused and strengthened in their faith so they can stand up and say, no, God is good. And the reason I know God is good is because I know him. I know him. One generation commends your works to the next. So we want to pass the baton. Pass the baton. One of the things that we're going to do this year to help us minister to kids is we're going to take our fellowship hall and we're going to make it 100 times more kid-friendly, right? And I know the fellowship hall, we use it for a number of different things, but 90% of the time, that fellowship hall is used for kids. We want to make that place, we want to give the fellowship hall for our kids the wow factor. Like when they walk in, they are going, wow, look at my church. Make them so excited about being here. Listen, we've got such great kids ministries. We do. I am so proud of our teachers. And youth ministries, Pastor BJ and Megan and Pastor Ben. Let's give these guys, man, they're doing such a great job with our kids. And we want to give them all the tools that they need and all the facilities that they need to do a great job. We want this to be a place where, so we're going to be, we're just kind of in the beginning stages of working on some ideas, some models for how that could look downstairs. I'll promise you this, it's going to look totally different from what it looks right now. And it's going to be a very exciting thing. It's going to be an exciting thing for our kids. So we're going to present over the next few months. You'll be seeing some pictures, and of course it's going to cost some money. And so we're going to raise all the money to make this happen, and we're going to make that place an amazing place for our kids. All right. So I'm going to meditate on the goodness of God. I'm going to speak the goodness of God. I'm going to sing about the goodness of God. I'm going to share the goodness of God. And I'm going to pass the goodness of God on to the next generation. Right? Sound good? Sound good. Yeah. And we're going to make a point of this all year long. But we're kicking off this whole thing with 21 days of focusing on the goodness of God in our prayer and a time of fasting, all right? And for some of you, maybe this idea of fasting is brand new, and I want to encourage you, if you weren't here last Sunday, listen to the podcast from last Sunday, all right? Because I give an explanation about what fasting is all about. Now, for some of us, fasting is going to be, we're going to fast from some meals, perhaps. Maybe we're going to take one day a week and fast that entire day. Maybe we're going to take one meal a day and say, all right, for the next 21 days, I'm just going to skip my lunchtime and I'm going to spend time in prayer. So for some of us, maybe we're not going to do an entire complete food fast, but maybe you want to fast from like processed sugar, right? Because that's going to have not only some spiritual benefits, but some health benefits, all right? Which is good. God wants us to be well physically, emotionally, and spiritually, amen? All right, so maybe it's fasting from sugar. I would certainly say that that fasting would include turning off the television. If you find yourself sitting in front of the television a lot, it's going to include some saying, I'm just not going to watch as much TV, or maybe I'm going to turn it off altogether for 21 days. Social media is another option to just say, hey, I'm going to put down my phone. I'm not going to spend so much time on the Facebook or Twitter feed or whatever. And I'm just going to shut that down so I can spend some time with the Lord. Whatever it is, whatever is going to help you say no to the flesh and say yes to the Spirit more and focus more on Jesus, that's what I want to challenge you to do over these next 21 days. Now, along with our fast, every year I do this, I write a 21-day devotional. And so this year's, surprise, surprise, this year's is on the goodness of God, and it's called 21 Days of God's Goodness. And so for every day, I give you a scripture that focuses on some aspect of the goodness of God, and then I've written a little devotional. Now, there's two ways you can get to this. The first way is it is a reading plan on the YouVersion app, all right? So let me just walk you through this. If you don't already have it, download the YouVersion app onto your device, all right? The YouVersion app is the most popular Bible app in the world. So if you just type in Bible app or YouVersion, it'll come right to the top. Download that if you haven't already, all right? And then there's a search icon. Just click on that search icon and then type in 21 days of God's goodness. 21 days of God's goodness in the search. All right? Are you doing it right now, some of you? All right? Then when you get to that, you click on that, push enter, and then that one should come right to the very top. Should come right to the top for you. And you'll be able to download that, and it'll just help you. It'll remind you every day as you read those scriptures and read through what I've written. And then every day, it's just going to help you to focus on the goodness of God, and we're all going to do it together. So that's an awesome thing for us to do together. Now, if you're not into doing it that way, we have some hard copies that are available out in the foyer, so you can get a hard copy. We encourage people to do it electronically because it's less expensive for us if you'll do it electronically, but we should have enough copies out there. If you'd like to use a hard copy, it is there for you, okay? And certainly, if you find yourself like, I can't do my devotions with my phone because then I click on my Instagram account. Maybe you need to turn off your phone and use the hard copy, all right, if that's a big temptation for you. Oh, church, I'm excited about what God is doing, and I'm really excited about what God is going to do. I pray that these 21 days are going to be such an awesome blessing in your life as we focus on the goodness of God. Would you pray with me right now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you are so good, better than we think, that we can't even begin to fathom or wrap our minds around just how good you are. But Lord, we're going to try. We're going to try to learn more and more about you and grow in your goodness. Lord, I pray for every individual here, no matter where they're at with you. Some people here, they've been walking with you for a long time, and perhaps they need just kind of a fresh jump start in their spiritual life. I pray that these 21 days, God, are going to be the best 21 days they've ever experienced in their relationship with you. God, there's going to be a freshness and a vibrancy in their walk with you. For some of this, some people here, all of this is brand new, and what an exciting time in their life. And I pray over these next weeks, God, they're gonna learn things they've never heard before. You're gonna show them things they've never known before, Lord. And God, it's gonna be an exciting, exciting journey. God, we commit as a church family these coming 21 days to you. Jesus, grow us, mature us, draw us closer to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.